I returned from the Evangelical Free Church of America conference in Naperville, Illinois, with great inspiration and a renewed sense of mission. We experienced excellent worship, powerful preaching, and dynamic workshops. Have you ever heard the expression of drinking from a fire hose? That's kind of what it's like. You get filled with so much. So I just want to unload it all for you right now. So we're going to be here a while. Is that all right? No, I'm just kidding. The workshops I attended had to do with discipleship related to my job description. They inspired me and fortified my mission for our church. The finale worship on Thursday afternoon included a message that focused on patterns of the early church. We were reminded of Acts 2:42, which says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. God added daily to their numbers. The believers, the church, had inward, born-again faith and outward attractiveness. And that's what we want for our church, to have that strong inward faith that gives us a blessed fellowship that makes us more attractive to our community. Last week I referred to Acts 2:42 with special interest in the breaking of bread to highlight our upcoming meal, the all-church free barbecue on July 14th. It's going to be great. I've already received news that we're going to get a gallon of barbecue sauce from Oklahoma. Can you believe that? I can't wait. But this morning we highlight on the devotion to prayer. This morning our message is about prayer. In particular, a powerful prayer of Jesus. It's recorded in John 17. The preceding chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, are known as the final discourse of Jesus. This is his sharing on the night he was betrayed. And I'd like you to consider for a moment Jesus on the night he was betrayed, the night before going to the cross. He is with his friends and he's having his last supper. He washes the feet of his friends. He will be betrayed that night. He will be arrested and beaten that night. But also he prays and he shares. And the strong, powerful emphasis of these three chapters, as Jesus is headed to the cross and he's preparing for his departure, he promises them the Holy Spirit. I will send you another advocate to be with you, to be in you, to teach you, to remind you. Throughout these three chapters, we have the promise of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit to come. Now to chapter 17. Some people call this prayer. The entire chapter is a prayer, all 26 verses. They call it the priestly prayer of Jesus. I call it the longer Lord's Prayer. It's longer than the one we know from Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. What is this prayer about? And what does it mean to you and me? First of all, in the first verse, we see the overarching theme of glory, the glory of God. Not just the theme of the prayer, it is an overarching theme for the entire Gospel of John. In fact, it's an overarching theme for the entire Bible, the glory of God. But specifically, we look at these verses from this chapter. Verse 1, the second half, 1b, says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. And then verse 4, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And then verse 22, the first half, the glory that you have given me, I have given them. And by extension, then this extends not only to the disciples, but it extends to you and to me. And then there's the theme of eternal life. Who can forget the famous verse of John's Gospel, John 3:16. Would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. So in John 3:16, that whoever believes, and then here John is writing that it is to know Jesus. What is eternal? This is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God. And this has to do with not just head knowledge, not just an academic knowing. It has to do with an intimate knowing, a closeness that they know You, the one and only true God and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. This is God's goal. And then we move on to the heart of God and the mind of Christ that is expressed through this great prayer. I'd like you to look at five petitions. Five petitions. Number one, in verse 11, there's a typo in the bulletin. It says verse 1, but this is verse 11, and the B just means we're looking at the second half of the verse. Verse 11, be Holy Father, protect them in Your name that You have given Me. So Jesus, to begin with, prays for Himself to fulfill the glory. He's completing His work on earth, and He's praying for Himself, for the glory that comes from the Father, and then the glory that He will give to the glory that comes to the Son, and then the glory that the Son will give to the Father. And then He's praying for the disciple group. Protect them in Your name that You have given Me. The second petition is found in verse 15b. Again, the word protect, but I ask You to protect them from the evil one. Jesus is not only praying for the disciple group, but as we will see, He's praying for all of us. The third petition, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then verses 20 and 21, the first half of that verse, He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one. This is both a petition and it's a purpose statement. The purpose statements are identified when you see the words so that or that. And we'll see this repeated theme or this idea, this God felt desire for His followers to be one. And this is for the disciples, and it is also for all who will believe. This is for you and for me, the petition by Jesus that we would all be one. And the fifth petition from verse 24, the first part says, Father, I desire that those also whom You have given Me may be with Me where I am. And so to believe in Christ, to know Christ, has to do with the closeness. I love that song, Draw Me Close. Draw Me Close to You. The word says that if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. And so we want to grow in our faith this morning. We want to draw near, closer to God, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our belief, and to increase what we know in our head and in our heart. And then we move to the seven purpose statements. The first one is so that they may be one. We've heard that already. We see purpose and meaning in the things that are repeated. I learn a lot about folks to know the things that they repeat in their speech. Key words, key ideas, habits, hobbies, lifestyles, the repeated things. Look at this repeated thing in this prayer of Jesus, that they may be one. Verse 2, there's a purpose for Scripture might be fulfilled, referring to Judas Iscariot. He says, none have been lost except the one who was destined. And then we come back to this purpose for you and for me, so that they may have My joy made complete in themselves. Folks, if you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord today, then we need to pray for that. We need to pray. It's a distinctive of the Christian faith to have an assurance, blessed assurance of Jesus' love. And when we have it, we can have joy, spiritual, overwhelming, overcoming joy, no matter our circumstance, even in pain, even in circumstances that create doubts and fears. We can have the joy of Jesus because Jesus prayed it. And then the fourth one, verse 19, so that they also may be sanctified, washed, made pure, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The fifth one says, so that they may be one as we are one. Are we getting this? Do you hear the repetition? Are we one with our Lord Jesus? Are we as a church one in order to glorify God? The sixth one. Oh, look at this again. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. Jesus really means it. It's an important goal. And honestly, most days it seems like an impossible goal because of the divisions in our churches, the divisions in the body of Christ. But here's what he prays. Here's what we are to believe. Number seven, so that we may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me, that the world may know. And this has to do with our witness. This has to do with our discipleship, that we have such an inward quality of faith, the strength of love and unity, that we become a shining light, shining brighter. We become more attractive to the world. There's a song I thought about. I was out of town, so I let Barry pick the songs, but I have one, and maybe we'll still do it. It's an arrangement of We Are One in the Spirit, We Are One in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, they are one in the Lord. And who pray that together we may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll. Yeah, you've most of you heard it. That the world may know. Why? Because of the love. And then we come to the glory. So are we convinced the glory of God is something revealed? It is something about the presence of God. When we sing a doxology, it's glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. We pray and it's about the presence of God, and it's the activity of God, the present activity of God. And then there is the intercession. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, intercedes for us. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In his May 5th sermon, Pastor Chris reminded us that Jesus, in his ascension, seated at the right hand of the Father, intercedes for us. He was referring to Romans chapter 8. Listen again to these verses 32 through 34. He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who is raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. That's a present reality. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus interceded for us before he goes to the cross. And now, in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, Jesus intercedes for us. But that's not all. Listen to this. And also in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, God's word affirms that the Holy Spirit also intercedes on our behalf. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we want to catch the God of glory. We want to meet God in intercession. God's purpose shown through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit could not be more clear. The Father glorifies the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to share God's glory with us so that we may glorify God. We must glorify God. Say it with me. We must glorify God. We must intercede in prayer. Say it with me. We must intercede with prayer. And that's part of this morning's invitation. That before we leave church, just take some time right here in the sanctuary to pray. Or to join some in that room. Or wherever God leads you to say a prayer. And sometime today, if you take hold of your Bible, I jokingly asked one of the band members, he had a Bible, and I held out the Bible. Is this your Bible? And he said, yeah. Can I say it was Jared? I guess it's all right. And I said, do you read it? And he looked at me kind of puzzled. Well, yeah, yeah. See, I used to stand up in pulpit and I'd start off with, I read my Bible this week. Take hold of your Bible today, and read this chapter, chapter 17. Pray it and read it as a prayer. Read the final discourse of Jesus and allow God to bless you. But we must intercede. We must be perfectly united. Will you say that with me? We must be perfectly united. We must be filled with God's love. Say it with me. We must be filled with God's love. Say it with me. We must be filled with the joy of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus prayed it. If Jesus prayed it, it's got to be a good prayer. Say amen. Amen. If Jesus prayed the prayer, it's got to be answered. Say amen. Amen. Will it be answered in you? Will it be answered in this church? I say, yeah. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Because Jesus prayed it. In closing, I want to ask you to ask God for your vision of this church's unity. What would that picture be like? What would that activity be? God, give us vision of the church united as one, perfectly one. Just as Jesus is in the Father, and the Father, and just as they are one, that we are in God and we are one. A pastor friend, Bill Bolknight, was preaching this very idea. At the time, he was pastoring in Colorado, and he was near a university where they were holding Olympic trials. And he would enjoy going to the stadium to watch these athletes, and he was seeking a vision. He was seeking a picture for the church in these Olympic trials. And he was enjoying the athleticism, the competition, but he never felt like he was getting a picture that applied to the church, where these athletes are competing and the difference between first place and fifth place is tenths of a second. And didn't feel the competition felt fit the vision for the church. But it wasn't too long after he was there watching the Special Olympics. And there was a foot race with 9 or 10 runners. And they were very intense. And they got to the starting line, the gunshot sounded, and they took off all in their own unique ways with all of their hearts to run this foot race. And about 20 meters into this 100-meter dash, one of the runners fell down. And the moment that happened, everyone else stopped. And they turned, and they went over to the fallen runner to lift that one up. And you watch them very carefully helping them up. And one of them, they're brushing off the dust and the gravel. And one of the competitors even kissed the boo-boo on the knee. And when they were sure everybody's okay, they locked arms and they ran to the finish line. He said, that's a picture of unity. We're not in competition. We're here to help the fallen. We are to be a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints. Amen? So ask God to give you a vision for the unity of this church and what God is calling you to do to make it happen. So it begins with prayer. And the more we will do this, the more we will glorify God, and we will glorify thy name. So I ask if you would stand for our closing song of worship.